This is America. Don't catch you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Welcome to the Fantasy Sports Collective podcast. This is your host, Jay Dub. I'm back after a couple week break. Oh, hey, it's off season for me. We're post Super Bowl. I didn't even do a pre Super Bowl show, and part of it, I was tired of talking Chiefs, and I like the Eagles. I didn't want to jinx it. I do want to touch base though that, you know, Eagles dethroning the Chiefs. It was one of the bigger beatdowns in Super Bowl history. The final score, 40-22, wasn't as extreme, but they were 34-0, and they just really put it to Mahomes. He couldn't get anything done. I think at half they had 23 total yards, which isn't great, crazy. And let's be honest, it just, until they had a couple big plays at the very end when the game was completely over, I think the Eagles even pulled their starters, at least on the offensive side. Hurts and Barkley were out at this point. It was just bad. And I think what we saw was there's clearly a formula here to beat Mahomes. We saw it with the Tampa Bay, beat them pretty soundly a few years ago, really actually beat them up, and we got a pick six. And even the two 49er losses to the Chiefs, where they were close, the Niners were able to put some of that formula in play, which is you got to have a dominant four-man front who can get pressure and then disguise coverage and ideally push him into some mistakes, which is what Tampa Bay did 4 years ago and what the Eagles did this past weekend. It's interesting. It's, look, if you rattle Mahomes and you can convert on your offensive opportunities, you can beat them, and you can beat them soundly, which is what we saw Tampa Bay and the Eagles do. So what does this do for legacies? Look, the Chiefs are fine. They're this generation, this sort of little 5 year run or 6 year run. I wouldn't call it a dynasty yet, although it's pretty close. Actually, it's a dynasty. What am I saying? I think Mahomes has been to 6 straight AFC championship games. I think he's been to, is it 5 straight Super Bowls? Something crazy like that. It's 5 of the last 6 is what it is. So incredible run. But let's put the GOAT conversation back. Brady never lost this badly in the Super Bowl. Mahomes has been whipped twice. And Montana, who I'm still going to throw in the ring, never lost ever. And he led multiple game-winning drives to win Super Bowls. So setting up some incredible touchdown interception stats. And I'll bring in another Joe Montana stat in a second. So for the Chiefs, I think, look, Andy Reid's an amazing coach, and he's on his way to probably having the wins record. Mahomes is clearly the best quarterback right now, and he's got a great chance to being the GOAT, particularly statistically and team success. He's got another 10-plus years of playing. That said, he's not the GOAT yet, and he's already done some things that, from a loss standpoint in the big game, that some of the greats didn't do before that. Now, granted, he's been there a lot. For the Eagles, though, this is pretty monumental. I'll say first, Nick Sirianni, he's taking a lot of heat. He's due for a huge contract extension, so you can count on all the naysayers and people that were out for blood with him after last year, or kind of during last year's season. And really, there's so many people whispering that, oh, he's going to be gone after week 4 or 5 this year when they were 2-2. They're quieted for the next 3 to 4 years. But in Philly, nothing's ever permanent. So like Doug Peterson, if the Eagles falter, he'll be on the hot seat. For Jalen Hurts, I think this is the biggest one. This is huge for him. He definitely outplayed the young stud, Jaden Daniels, in the NFC title game. He's done nothing but win. He's 46-20 in his 4-plus years of season starting, and basically started for 4 seasons. He's been in the Super Bowl twice. He's now won one. And he demonstrated both the poise throwing the ball and making key passes, particularly early in the game when the game was still very much in doubt. And then he led the game in rushing. He had 72 yards rushing, which is an all-time record for a running back. Won Super Bowl MVP honors. Critics will continue to criticize, but he has game-managed the Eagles to 15 total wins this year in the title. And it's just, he's a winner. Which, by the way, an interesting fact, this is something to mention about Hurts. He becomes just the 3rd quarterback in the history of the NFL to start and win a college national championship when he was at Alabama and a Super Bowl. And the other two did that were Joe Montana at Notre Dame and the San Francisco 49ers, and Joe Namath, who also did it at Alabama and at the New York Jets. So pretty cool. Hurts is now only the 3rd quarterback to join that list. Pretty good list. Namath and Montana are Hall of Famers. I would say Hurts is probably, he's very young, and I get there's a lot of critics out there, but he's pretty close to being on his way to on a Hall of Fame kind of pace, given the stats he's going to rack up on the ground, touchdowns he's going to score, his college success. He was really successful at Alabama and Oklahoma, and now his success over 4 years. Again, he's got to do this for another 5, 6, 7 years. And clearly, getting to another Super Bowl, continuing to win, winning another title, those are the things that would probably solidify him. But the NFL definitely matters in terms of consistency over a long period of time. But right now, he's in that Russell Wilson stage where he's had more success than Russell Wilson at this point in their respective careers, and particularly when you factor in college. And but if he falls off and doesn't play well, I could see Russell Wilson not making it. Whereas 5, 6 years ago, everyone thought he was a guarantee. Does it do for 2025 season? Look, I think Philly, they're a young team. They're talented. Their lines are on the young side and getting better. They return arguably the best group of skill position players in the league, with Saquon at running back, Dallas Goedert at tight end, A.J. Brown and DeVonta Smith as the starting wideouts, and even like a Jahan Dotson. It's a nice pickup for them. It's pretty talented as a number three guy. So they're going to be good. Kansas City is going to be back. I actually like Kansas City's offense better next year. You'll have a healthy Pacheco who's still up and coming. And then you've got a full assortment of young receivers in Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy. I do think Kelce's slowing down, and that's clearly Mahomes' security blanket. So they got to figure something out there. They've got to invest in their offensive and likely defensive lines too, but particularly offensive line. I would expect in the first round they're gonna spend that on a lineman. They've got to replenish the tank there. So anyhow, that's that. It was a good football season. I'm glad it's over. I'm ready for the off season, and many of these shows coming up will be about draft, free agency, which free agency kicks off in a couple of weeks. It's gonna be a lot of fun. I want to transition to the NBA trade deadline drama and moves. What a trade deadline. A lot of times these things are snoozers, but we woke up a week plus ago now to the news that the Dallas Mavericks had done the unthinkable. What were the Mavs thinking? Seriously, potential future body conditioning injuries, contract concerns, all are bullshit. The Mavs traded 25-year-old, soon to be 26, generational superstar Luka Doncic. For what? I really don't understand this. Literally, since they've made this trade, now don't get me wrong, AD is awesome. He's not garbage, he's valuable, but his body has consistently broken down. He's 32. So you exchange a likely generational superstar who's still a few years away from his prime, which, by the way, most people say is about 27, 28. So he's still a few years away from his prime for a guy who is several years past his prime and will never be a generational superstar. And that's it. Basically, you got a first round pick in 2029, but we're talking a couple of years from now, and they're going to have Luka in his prime. And so far, they've leaked that they were worried about his body conditioning, that maybe 2.5 years from now, by the way, because he's signed through the 2026-27 season. That he may not, that he, you know, they're worried about giving him the supermax. I think that the struggle with it, let's be honest, you do the value exchange on these generational superstars. They put butts in seats, they put you on national TV, local revenues way up. Like they're so underpaid relative to what the value of the organization is versus someone who's just good, very good player. Anthony Davis will generate so much less off the court and ancillary revenue than Luka Doncic would. It's just a bad business move. This trade makes no sense. The Dallas Mavericks won't be relevant for another 5+ years thanks to this deal. And as a lifelong Golden State Warriors fan, it's a bummer because the LA Lakers, on the other hand, are now locked and loaded into another top five seed for at least the next 5 years, likely the next 10 years. And they lucked into another kind of run. It's mind-boggling, this trade. I think on paper, again, if Anthony Davis was 5 years younger and he hadn't shown that his body was already brittle, you could make a strong argument for this. But it still would be a bad move. But now it's so crazy to me. So anyhow, that aside, in a normal year, the Jimmy Butler deal would have been a big deal. It's one of the bigger deals in the last couple of years at a trade deadline. Jimmy Butler is a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's a star. He's taken the Heat to multiple finals almost on his own back. Not to disparage Bam or some of the ancillary pieces like a Tyler Hero that the Heat have, but Butler is just playoff Jimmy, man. He is very good. Now he's past his prime, but he's still an elite performer, particularly when the game mattered. And he's an engine that I said, take a kind of a mediocre average 5-6 seed Heat and kind of consistently made them a 1-2 seed. The first Curry partner now. So by the way, for those of you who haven't been in a hole, Jimmy Butler was traded to the Warriors for Andrew Wiggins, a couple other role players, and a protected first round pick this year. So a pretty good trade. I think a fine trade for Miami, given that Butler had basically given up and didn't want to play there anymore. But I think a really strong trade for the Warriors. And yes, I'm biased, but I think most of the experts would say this. And simply because they gave up Wiggins, who's 5 years younger. But on his best day, he's a really poor man's Jimmy Butler. And you've got this team with Draymond, with obviously with Stephen Curry. This is your chance right now. Are they going to win? It's a long shot, but at least he gives them it gives them a long shot title chance this year and possibly another run next year. And the Warriors didn't have to give up any of their kind of their key assets. So when you look at Butler's advanced stats, he's elite versus Wiggins. That's really the kind of who he replaces in the lineup. He's a great fit in their system because he's a very strong passer, something that Wiggins wasn't as good at. He's a locked down defender, which Wiggins was, but they're similar in that. And he's a much better scorer, particularly in that mid-range at the basket. He's gonna open up the floor for Curry and Buddy Hield, take some of the scoring lead off of the Curry. It just makes him a much better team. So I like this for the Warriors. I like it for Jimmy Butler. The question is, how does he age? Because they did give him a 2-year, $111 million extension in this. For the Heat, look, they sold low, in my opinion. If they'd sold this summer, it would have been a very different situation. But their team will be fine, and they're still desperate. Look, they're in the middle of the pack, and so they're still desperate to find the next star to put next to Bam and their third guy and Tyler Hero. They're not any worse, really, because they weren't really getting a lot from Butler this year, anyways. Next, I'll go De'Aaron Fox. This would be the headliner for normal trade deadline. This would have been a bigger story, not for Luka, not for Butler. Fox is still in his prime, so he's right there in that kind of prime category. He's on a max deal. The word is that he's willing to sign with San Antonio when his contract is up in 1.5 years. He'll re-sign there, wants to be there. I think he's a good fit for them. I guess I just wonder if he's a difference maker or if he's just a good slash great player on a bad team. I've seen Fox is pretty clutch scorer. He's certainly in that star category. He's gonna make some all-star teams and particularly really elevate himself with Wemby. And I think that's the hope and dream both for Fox, Wemby, and the Spurs franchise. But can he elevate further and make himself a successful player in a very straight, great team? And I think if he does, then this can be a great move. I like the fit. Ideally, he's more of the third or fourth guy in a title team. So ideally, you got Wemby, and then with one of these picks, you get lucky and you hit on a guy who's better than Fox, elevates, and particularly probably somebody in that kind of 3-and-D vein, like a young Butler, basically would be a really nice fit on this team. So I like that. I think it's worth it. I just don't know if he's going to be enough. For the Kings, look, they're taking a step back as Fox was the offensive initiator, though I don't think they were truly a contender. So it's a smart business move in the long run. For the Spurs, obviously, as I said, Fox fills a key need. We'll see if it's the right fit to supercharge them or not. And then a couple other things I'll just highlight. Brandon Ingram, I've always liked him. He just can't stay healthy. He's very brittle. If I were the Spurs, I would have looked at renting him for 2 months, giving up a couple pieces here and there, but small things, just to see if he could space with Wemby and kind of be that strong wing scorer. He doesn't need the ball in his hands per se. He is a ball stopper, but maybe with Wemby and a Fox, he'd be more of a off ball kind of scorer, use his length. They could average 18 to 22, but space the floor for him. Maybe that's not the right fit, but I not a great spot, or so I think a good spot. But with the Raptors, I just don't see it. For the Pelicans, look, I feel sorry. They're stuck. They're likely going through a huge rebuild with Zion being dealt this summer, is my guess. I'd be curious to see where Zion lands and if he can resurrect himself. Next, you got Chris Middleton for Kyle Kuzma. I don't know about this deal. Seems like a nothing burger in the grand scheme of things. Bucks aren't going anywhere. Watch them play the Warriors tonight. Giannis is hurt, and Warriors went into Milwaukee and won pretty easily. But I don't think this is much. Seems like Chris Middleton's kind of on the end, and the end of his body's breaking down. And Kyle Kuzma's just like a good rotation guy, probably a guy off the bench. He's not a number three type guy. So we'll see. To me, the East is essentially comes down to the Cavs versus Celtics, especially after this trade deadline. I don't see anyone else challenging them, whether it's Miami or New York. Maybe, I guess maybe I'm leaving them out. I like what they've done. their team come playoff time, they're gonna be something to deal with. But it's really those two to three teams. So who won the trade deadline? Look, Lakers definitely long term. Getting Luka ensures they're relevant for the next decade, and there'll be no bridge from LeBron to the next generation. But short term, I like what OKC did, which is nothing, by the way, but they kept their entire roster together. They made no even marginal moves. They kept that chemistry. And they got Chet Holmgren back from injury. And look, they're going to win 65 plus games. They could push 70 games. That's how good this team is. They're high 40s now with, I think six losses. So they're in pretty good place to hit that 70 mark. So it's going to be, the question is the playoffs. Can they do it? So anyhow, next up, NBA All-Star Game this weekend. Excited for the weekend. I'll be back probably next week. Start talking a little bit more free agency and some of the moves and what's going on there. On that note, I hope you all have a great week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Before we leave, let me tell y'all a little something. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up.